in this morning is Pastor Ohini, that's here with us this morning, comes from Ghana, Africa. So we have some connections to Ghana with Jonas and Ruthie serving there and their family and also others of us that have gone to visit them. So we have some connections to that country, that part of the world, and we're glad to have Pastor Ohini with us this morning to share with us with his work and from God's Word. So, Bob, I'm going to turn the service over to you guys, and thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just pause to thank you this morning for the beautiful day you gave to us. Lord, we just ask you to be with us today. We ask your presence here among us. Just with be with Bob and Heralds of Hope as they share with us. We ask you to just bless this service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Thank you, Trulin, for those wonderful hymns of faith that you led us in. Indeed, songs of worship and praise to God for all that he has done for us. And I appreciated the order of the songs as well. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And then I'll praise him. That's the only proper response, is to praise and worship him and to sing those hallelujahs for the great plan of salvation, for cleansing and forgiveness of sin. And what a privilege we have this morning to be gathered together in his name. I would like to read a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The theme for this quarter's Heralds of Hope program, as you will notice on the testimony booklet, if you received as you were coming in, is laborers together. Here in 1 Corinthians 3 is where the verse comes from, for we are laborers together with God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, as verse 5 points out, we have been all given a gift to participate in the building of God's kingdom for his honor and glory. And as verse 6 brings out, we are all given with these different gifts. We all have different callings and responsibilities in building his kingdom. Some plant, some water. But notice the last phrase there in verse 6. But God giveth the increase. And we want to give him all the honor and the glory and the praise and worship this morning in the program, in the ministries of Heralds of Hope. While we teach and share the word through radio broadcast and send out Bibles and literature, it's God that gives the increase. It's the power of God's word that transforms hearts and lives, as we'll be sharing testimonies about this morning. Verse 7, it's not us that plant or those that water, but it's God again giving the increase. And notice in verse 8 there, on how we are one, there needs to be unity in our witness and ministry, as we all work together in making possible the going forth of God's word. Then God's Holy Spirit uses the word to transform hearts and lives. We need to work together in love and unity. Each one of us here have a part in the ministry of Heralds of Hope. For instance, if it wasn't for, it's not just us four people that serve at the office there at Heralds of Hope that make the ministry possible, but it's each one who prays, each one who gives, each one who serves on the board of directors, and so on, that make it possible for God's word to go out and be planted and be watered. And then again, God gets the glory for it all, because he's the one that gives the increase. Verse 9, again, brings that out. We are how we are laborers together, each one of us doing our part in praying and giving and sharing to make the ministry possible, the building of God's kingdom. And then in closing there in verse 10 and 11, the whole thought that the foundation of the kingdom of God is none other than Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We cannot build on any other foundation that is the true foundation and the solid rock and anchor for our souls but the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's not just having our sins forgiven and cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word and the blood of Christ, but then it's accepting Him and serving Him in loving obedience after all that He's done for us. And that's where serving Him as Lord is an important process and step and choice that we must make on a regular basis. Not just accept Him as our Savior and then slide into heaven. That don't happen. It don't work that way. The enemy of our souls makes sure of that. Satan tempts us and tries to distract us and causes us to not worry about walking in obedience and truth on the sure foundation. So we also must accept Him and serve Him as Lord. That whole thought of serving Him as Lord means Master. We obey Him. We obey His word of truth. And so it's not only planting and watering and working together in love and unity, but it's and accepting Him as our Savior, but also choosing to serve Him as our Lord and Master. May God help each one of us to be faithful and true to His calling and gifting on our lives. And as He gives us life and breath, may we be faithful stewards of His many blessings to help build His kingdom in these last days. May we be faithful and true. With those thoughts from the Word, I will now review some of the testimony booklet, and then I will give the time to Brother O'Haney. First of all, just to give you a quick overview of Heralds of Hope, an update. I'm not sure how familiar all of you are with the ministry of Heralds of Hope. It was started back in 1967 by Dr. J. Otis Yoder and his wife Isabel. Dr. Yoder went on to his reward in 2003, but Mrs. Yoder still lives. She's 98 years old in an assisted living apartment down in Newport News, Virginia, close to their only daughter. She is a faithful prayer warrior for the ministry still these days, but she longs to go home to her reward. When Dr. Yoder suffered his second major stroke, he turned the president and Bible teaching responsibilities of Heralds of Hope over to Isabel's nephew, J. Mark Horst, and his wife, Joyce, and their family serve as president and Bible teacher currently. If you tune in to the Heralds of Hope broadcast on Saturday evening on WDAC, most of the messages are by J. Mark Horst. He still does use some of Dr. Yoder's messages when we're traveling and so on. In 1974, then, due to the encouragement of Dr. Paul Freed, the founder and director of Transworld Radio, who is the largest evangelical radio broadcaster in the world, even today broadcasting God's Word in over 250 languages of the world. He challenged Dr. Yoder and said, you know, the expository Bible teaching of Heralds of Hope broadcasts are not only needed in the U.S. and Canada, they're needed worldwide in all the other languages. The church and the missions need the teaching of God's Word. And so that's when we, Heralds of Hope, started the first international broadcast. To today, as noted there, we are broadcasting over 368 times each week, soon to be in 15 different languages around the world. We've had responses from over 183 countries of the world from our radio broadcast and Bibles and literature ministry. As noted there also, in 1975, they began mailing Bibles internationally because of all the Bible requests they were receiving. And today we've distributed over 238,000 copies of the Bible have been mailed out. Now, we are living in the last days, aren't we? We believe that there's not enough time to train enough missionaries to learn enough languages of the world to get the gospel message out to the far corners and villages of Africa and Asia and so on. We believe that God would have us use the radio signal and the internet signal to get the message out. Don and I have been serving with Heralds of Hope going on 8 years this fall, and it's been a real personal journey of faith to see how God has given us opportunities in the different language groups and the timing of that, and then to see how God has provided the funding for the ministry. Last spring, we received the largest estate gift that we've ever received. And so the board decided to use that to apply for a new language, which is the Pashto language on page 3, as seed money to start that broadcast. Transworld Radio built a new station in that part of the world that we don't even know where it is because it's such a sensitive area of the world. But the Pashto language is spoken in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and northern India. There's a potential audience of 210 million people, Pashto speaking, or not just Pashto, but that's one of the main languages in that part of the world, but 210 million people have access to that new radio signal. Now, the Pashto language is spoken by the Taliban people of Afghanistan. Afghanistan, as we know, has been had suffered war from the Taliban, from the Al-Qaeda, and the current ISIS crisis, and so on. And these are some startling statistics that Transworld Radio shared with us at their conference last fall. 66% of the population of Afghanistan suffer from mental illness. Yes, you heard right. That's nearly two-thirds of the population of Pakistan suffers from mental illness because of all the years of terror, fear, and hopelessness of war. There's a real lack of trust. Millions of children are deaf and dumb. We signed a contract for the Pashto language broadcast last July already, and we still have not, Transworld Radio and us have still not found a Pashto translator for our broadcast. We believe it's a real spiritual battle. As J. Mark read in the Operation World, different people that have tried to study the Pashto language for tent-making mission outreach in those countries have faced severe spiritual depression and attacks. And we feel it's a real spiritual battle to try to find a Pashto translator. So pray with us. Fast and pray for a Pashto translator that can begin our broadcast in that part of the world. That will be our 15th language broadcast. Then back on page 1, the Arabic language of the Middle East. Another project that we spent some of that estate money on was to go back in the Arabic language on a large commercial station on the island of Cyprus. Heralds of Hope did have an Arabic broadcast back in the 90s on that same station. It's a powerful commercial station that reaches through the Middle East. They have an audience of 51 million people in the countries of Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, some into Iran, some into Turkey, and Jordan and Syria. Now, we all know with the ISIS crisis and with the Arab Spring and so on, all the turmoil and war and murder and killing and all the homelessness because of all the destruction of war that has been taking place in those countries. We believe that God in His mercy in these last days wants to give those 51 million people another chance to hear the gospel message. And so He had this estate gift at just the right time where we could get back on that station. By the way, speaking to the men here, if you do not currently have a will or an estate plan, I'm going to give you an assignment. I'm going to give you 1 week, no, I'll have more mercy. I'll give you a month to work on a will and estate plan because you can leave a legacy long after you're gone for God's kingdom building. Like this large estate gift that we received is now we signed up for this broadcast in the Arabic language on this powerful station. It's a very expensive broadcast. We have a weekly broadcast of 15 minutes, and it costs $632 for one 15-minute broadcast. Now, this estate gift, the seed money, will not keep this broadcast on the air forever. We are praying that God would raise up individuals and churches who will help cover that $632 a week or $37,000, $38,000 a year to keep that Arabic broadcast on to that part of the world in these last days where we all know that Armageddon is going to take place. And that part of the world where all the ISIS crisis is happening and so on. So pray with us to that end. Then I would like to read a letter yet in regards to our Bible distribution ministry. There's a testimony on page 4 there. From Nigeria, I don't know how to thank you for the greatest gift you gave to me of the Holy Bible. I am so excited and full of joy. Thank you very much. I have been reading it daily. Last year, we spent $82,000 to print, purchase, and ship Bibles and literature around the world. As fast as we receive donations for Bibles and literature, we spend it because of letters like this from Northern Nigeria in our Hausa language broadcast to 40 million mostly Muslim unreached people group in Northern Nigeria. This letter comes from Al-Abaji Jamiu. I thank God for your life in the manner that He planned to use the best to spread the word so that it could reach the corners of the world, so lives could be saved. Formerly, I was a typical Muslim leading people to the Islamic religion, and I headed so many mosques in the northern region in Nigeria. But it has been a long friend of mine who told me about your program, Hope for Today, on Radio Africa, which we broadcast each week in English. But our Islamic religion did not permit me to listen. But it was one day after eating that I turned my radio to your program, Hope for Today, on Radio Africa, and listened to your hope messages. And it is my joy to tell you that I received Jesus Christ on that night. Why? Because I have known in your program that Jesus Christ is the only hope to eternity. And I was touched. Immediately I started preaching to my wives, plural, yes, and children. And on Friday at the mosque, I also began preaching about Jesus Christ as the only hope to eternity. And all the congregations were surprised to see their leader preaching about Christ. And many of our congregation has now accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Praise God. So this makes us to change the Islamic name of our mosque to Fishers of Men Ministry. and we serve the living God with 59 members. Though Reverend A.O. Sunday gave us 10 Bibles, but the new converts cry out for help of Bibles and said they have no Bible to read daily. So this is why I'm writing you this letter, for the provision of more holy Bibles for my congregation who cannot afford to buy them for their help. Please help us with more Bibles and other helpful materials as their names are enclosed in this letter. Please make sure you send the Bibles in short time. I am in need of a study Bible too for my teaching. I will be grateful if you can help us with Bibles. Praise God for the donations that we received this spring, that I was able to. We send one case of Bibles at a time to make sure they get there safely. We sent the second case within the last month or 5 weeks to meet this need. Now, does it work to share the gospel message using the radio signal? There's a personal testimony of our 15-minute broadcast converting a Muslim imam who then preached Lord and Savior to his wives and children, as well as at the mosque, so much so that people responded to the plan of salvation. They renamed their mosque and now have a church fellowship there. What it means when we use Transworld Radio for the other languages is they hire a native Christian that speaks that language in that country to translate our English Bible teaching scripts, produce the program, air it, and then send us a regular report. The last 3 months, the last three quarters of our reports from the Hausa language weekly broadcast, so it'd be 13 weeks each quarter. There have been over 1,000 responses. This last report says 1,258 people responded to 13 broadcasts. 102 requested Bibles, 271 requested follow-up materials, 403 requested a copy of the broadcast, 751 requested prayer and help spiritually. Now, this is the clincher. Out of those 13 15-minute weekly broadcasts, there were 127 who responded and said they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Where else can you spend $3,000 a quarter and have 130 people accept Christ as their personal Savior? Or have 1,258 people respond? That is almost 100 responses per 15-minute broadcast. And then the accepting Christ as their Savior is 127 out of 13 weeks. Dividing that into $3,000, the cost, a young man last Sunday night came to me after the service and said, that's about $27. Where else can you send 27 of your mission dollars and have someone accept Christ in an unreached people group? I would say that's pretty good stewardship of mission dollars, to share the gospel message using the radio signal, sending out Bibles and literature to respond to their heart's cry for a copy of God's Word. What better investment is there? Brother O'Haney, page 6. Talks about Torch Ministries of Accra, Ghana, and our partnership with Brother O'Haney. O'Haney and Kuma and his wife Jane lead Torch Ministries in Ghana, Africa. One of the ministry's primary outreaches is Bible studies for junior high public school students. Heralds of Hope helps to provide Bibles for these students. Brother O'Haney reports the following: we have witnessed God's Word changing the lives of students in 110 public schools. Now, that is an old report. He will double that this morning in his report. Benjamin, a student, wrote to say, Jesus has changed my life, and I know now he is always with me. Thank you for coming to my school with Bible lessons. We work with 94 school chaplains. That is more than doubled in the course of the last year. each of the 8,000 students, that has six times, who studied the Bible lessons this semester, graduated with none dropping out, and we recorded 322 new decisions for Jesus Christ. Torch Ministries is also involved in pastoral training seminars, conducting VBS in various villages and church planting. He will share some startling statistics on the attendance at his Vacation Bible School ministry in August. My priority is to help Christian leaders be effective for the Lord through encouragement. At a men's conference in Liberia, 86 men rededicated their lives to serving the Lord and treating their families well. It's been a real privilege. It's one of the fringe benefits of serving at Heralds of Hope is to have native Christian brothers like Brother O'Haney in our home and to travel with them sharing programs. It's been a real blessing and encouragement. And so, Brother O'Haney, come forward, and since I've been a little long-winded, why take till 10:05, okay? At least. All right. They came here to listen to you, not to me anyhow, right?
Right. They came to listen to Jesus.
To Jesus. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Right, amen. Thank you. All right. Good morning. My name is O'Haney Kumi. I'm coming from Ghana, West Africa. And it's exciting to serve the Lord there. And this morning, you can hear that I am speaking a different kind of English. It's more of British and Ghana English. And maybe Brother Jonah can hear me well. But I will speak slowly so you can all get what we are doing in Ghana. By God's grace, the Word of God is reaching out to young people, and we are reaching out to a generation of young people who will come after we are gone, and they will continue serving the Lord, and they will continue trusting in God, and they will continue lifting His name high, like the way we are desiring to do today. We do not want a situation when we are gone, called home, and a whole generation will come that do not know the Lord because we have not trained them. We have not taught them the way of the Lord. We have not presented Christ to them. And that is the work that we are doing. Serving the Lord for me came as a result of many years of not being invited to the church. I know the church building, I know Christians who go to church, but growing up, I was not invited by the Christians. And so I grew up around age 19 and I have not been to church, I've not stepped into a church building before. One day, a friend invited me to come to a revival meeting, and I went there and I heard the message and I accepted Christ as my Savior. I joined the church and I was so much interested in knowing more about Jesus. Then my calling came in a different way, where I bought a soccer ball and wanted to share the message of Christ with children. So I went to the playground, and then here I was with a soccer ball at the playground, and I saw them, and they ran to me. They want to play the soccer ball with me. I played a little bit with them, and then we stopped, and I shared the message of Christ with them. And most of the things I shared with them was the miracles of Christ, and they love it. So the following day, we played again, and then that was in the afternoon. Around 4 to 5. They brought their friends. And I realized that it's not only the soccer ball that they were interested in, but they were interested in the story of Jesus I was sharing with them. And they keep bringing their friends, and they keep bringing their friends each time that we meet at the soccer field, the playground to play soccer, and then I'll share a little bit about Jesus with them. The number grew from 4 to 8, 13, and now I have about 30 children. And when they come, some of their friends could not get a thing to play the ball. But they love it. They love the story. I move on and I asked them where they are coming from. They pointed, they showed me their school. So I went to their school. I wanted to meet some of their friends and also share the love of Christ with them. And I met the principal. I told them, I have some friends coming to your school, and after school, can I meet with them and maybe I will share Jesus Christ, the message of Christ with them. And the principal said, no, you come tomorrow morning and you share the message that you are sharing with your friends at the playground. Share it with all the school children. So you come in the morning, I'll give you the opportunity to share to the whole school. I said, wow. So I went home, I rehearsed, and I didn't know much about the Bible myself, and here I am trying to. And so I went back again and shared the miracles of Christ to the whole school assembly, and they love it. And it continued from one school to another school and to another school. And we thank God that today the Lord, by His grace, has led us to so many schools. This is my family. Jane is my wife. My son is called Kwesi, and my daughter is called Ama. Ama is 15 and Kwesi is 12. We are all serving the Lord in Ghana. And we are basically in the children ministry. Children's ministry. That is where my passion is. And it's been wonderful seeing them, and you'll be amazed of the things that they will tell you and the things that they are learning when you get close to them. We go to the public schools and we establish friendship with the principals, and then we introduce the Bible courses or Bible club. We tell them that we are coming. We want to have a Bible club in your school. Will you want to be part of it? The children said, yes, we want to be part of it. And then later on, we come and then we distribute Bible courses like this to them. This is course one. And then we give to the junior high. They can read better and they can understand. The primary is okay, but I don't have enough of this one to share with the whole school. So I basically maintain the junior high. We have junior high 1, 2, and 3. Then they go to senior high. This is course one, and it has 12 memory verses, and it has 12 lessons in it. And as they study and they work on it, they have to memorize 12 scripture verses. And each year, they have to do two booklets. This is book one, and then there's a book two. So you have, in the course of the year, you have to learn 24 memory verses as you work on two books. And then we give you two certificates. If you complete this one certificate, the next book two, you get another certificate. So, and then if you start with us in junior high one, you will learn 24 scriptures. And in junior high two, then you will learn another one. There are 6 of them. So you will learn another 24. So plus 24, you will learn 48 scriptures. Then junior high three, you will learn how many verses? Oh, you talk with me. 48. Then junior high 3, the third year, will give you another 12 verses and another 12 verses. So 24 verses plus 48. That's 72. You say, oh. They're saying, oh, I know you are old. But they are young. They don't go through the hassle and the stress that the adults go through. Their minds and their hearts are tender and young, and they can store 72 in their brain easily. Easily. You can do that, right? Yeah. You can do that easily, easily. But when you have kids, you have job, you have this and maintenance, and how do you say, install 72 memory verse? And these are the ones that we are working with. And also, we do hold vacation Bible school during the school break of August. In August, school is out, and then we go from community to community and have vacation Bible school there with them. And we also do this work with school volunteers that help us to teach the lesson in the school. They give us 1 hour. Some schools give us 45 minutes. So we have chaplains there who are Christians. They are school teachers, and they take the lesson and they teach them. But we tell them, take the booklet home. So you come and then your teacher will be teaching on maybe lesson 3. Then you take notes. The booklet is in the house, and then you go home and then you answer the questions there. We do this because we want to reach out to the whole family. We want the whole family to know what you are studying. And even as you are working on your workbook and you leave it on the table, your mommy or your daddy or your siblings might also pick it and look at it. So it's not only the children in the public schools that we are sharing with. We want to get into their homes and evangelize the whole family. If I meet the father, I give this booklet to the father. He or she, the father might not take it. The mother might not take it. But if the child brings it to the home and the child is seriously studying it all the time, and the father one day will say, "What are you studying? Can I have a look of it?" And then by that, we want to evangelize the whole family. So the school teachers help us to do that. We also involve in sharing the children ministry with pastors and leaders. So in the Bible school, I teach children ministry. So all those who go and graduate through the Bible school, they have to go through that. And it's been wonderful working with all this team, and they are also catching the vision and the passion of reaching out to young people. I don't want a generation to come who grow all the way to be 19 before somebody present the gospel to them. No. No. Maybe I do not know who will even pass 19, 20 years and will not have the opportunity to hear the word of God. Today we have the opportunity to share with them. We go to the schools and then we make friends with them. We talk to the principals and we do. First you go to the principal's office and then you talk to them. And then you come to the children and you tell them, "We are coming. We want to bring a Bible club to your school. Will you want to be part of it?" And they say, "Yes." They all come around you. They give you high five and things like that. Then you come again. This time it has shifted from the principal and the teachers and you and the children. They give them to you. And then you share the word of God with them, the love of Christ with them. And they are so happy. It's different. And they listen. And they all, and some of them even take notes of the scriptures that you are sharing with them. That Jesus really loves them, loves all of us. And it's amazing how they welcome us. The next time we come with the Bible courses, we are sorting it out here, and then we go school by school, school by school, and then we share it with them. We give it out to the teachers, the principal, or the chaplains and the leaders that we have trained. They work alongside us. We thank God that we have school chaplains, 187 helping us across the whole country. And we are having the program in 220 schools across the whole country that's with us, and they are studying the material and they are happy. We are also happy we have the Bible distribution going on. When they complete, they do not have Bible, and most of the Bibles that we give them comes from Heralds of Hope, and we thank God for the ministry of Heralds of Hope. And you, okay, you cannot see, but this is the Herald of Hope logo there. If you have seen the Herald of Hope Bible, that's how it looks like, that's the logo. And they ship it to us in quantities of so many thousands and thousands. And as we receive it, we give it out to the children. And then the beautiful thing is that they send it to the house. In most homes, this becomes the Bible, the family Bible that each of the family get to share. And they are happy that their child studied with us, and at the end, that child had earned a Bible and have brought it to the family. They are all happy. And this is where we bring two schools together, and then they say the memory verses. And this time, they don't get to receive the Bible, but the teacher who taught them the memory verses, all the 72 memory verses, the teacher received a study Bible. So I was holding a study Bible there. I have one, and two schools have to come. And come here you see the teachers who taught them. That's, we call them school chaplains. And they were cheering their students, say it. Say all the 12. And then maybe, but you can take turns. If you get to maybe 55 and you can't say anymore, you can call for another help from your school to come and continue. And they love it. They love it that schools will come and compete on the scripture verses. And then the first school that says all the 72 verses the first time and get all right, that teacher or the chaplain get the study Bible. We don't have enough study Bible. It's only one. That's why we do the competition for them. And they love it. And then the school chaplain has to wait another time when we have study Bible. Then we do it. More scripture that we distribute and the children. This is all more going school by school and distributing the scriptures. And these are the certificates. Some of them receive certificate and we don't have Bible, we don't have it. So they have to wait till we get Bible. And there was a time we were having a backload of 3 years student waiting. We did not have any Bible for them. And they have to move on to a senior high. And they have finished the junior high and I will not see them. And oh, come see how I was praying hard. Lord, we need Bible. Vacation Bible School is exciting and we always look forward to it in the month of August and we hold it in several places. And last year, we have a large number and this will be a class, student coming to Vacation Bible School and two teachers will be teaching them. And we do have a class growing from maybe 80 to 100 and 120 and two teachers. We have it in Monday through Friday and in the morning time. It's just like their school hours, 9 a.m. to noon. Then they go home and then they come again the following day. This time in last year, August, we have gone to, and some of the teachers help them. When you come to VBS, we do not want you to go home and not learning anything. So if you don't know the answers, call your teacher will come and help you find the answer in the workbook. So everybody get to study something at Vacation Bible School. Last year we had it at a place and we were expecting about 1,002 children to show up. And then we started the program on Monday. Tuesday we saw that the number has doubled and we have 2,500 children showing up. And so we said, wow, it's fine. But we have trained enough leaders to handle them. And so as they came, we were going to use one school building. We use school building. When school is out, we go. Because we know the principal, they give us the key. And then we come there and have our Vacation Bible School there for 5 days, Monday through Friday. They open all the doors for us. And so we go back and do it. But this time around, we have 2,500 children showing up. So we went to the school and we collected the key for another school. We collected three schools, the keys, and we filled all of them with children. And still they were coming. So we ended up renting, these are some of them, they love the Ashen songs. And then we rented some canopy and we rented plastic chairs. And put some, the overflow outside. But you know, the interesting thing, they were all quiet and they were all listening to their teachers. The beautiful thing is, they themselves check on on those who want to disturb the class by making noise. Then your friend will tell you, keep quiet, don't you know that teacher is trying to teach you something? So you, the teacher, you don't have the problem of how to calm them down before you can get the access to teach them. The class will do that for you. They will do that for you. And, yeah, I'll come back to this one. This is, at the end of the 5 days with 2,000 children coming to Vacation Bible School and renting plastic chairs, how many plastic chairs got broken at the end of the Vacation Bible School? You take a guess. I'll come back to that. But this is amazing grace. This man was passing by. He saw the sign and then he said, I have three children in the house. I want to come and enroll them. We said, okay, you bring them. So on Monday, he went and brought his three children. Then he wanted to pay. We said, no, it's free. We don't pay for vacation Bible school. He enrolled the children, and then come Wednesday, Adamu, that's this boy, he got saved on Wednesday. But he's a Muslim. So now he came and wrote three of his children in our vacation Bible school, and Sir Charles was teaching him, and now he's saved. So come Friday, he was asking me to go and talk to the father. I should go with the son, Adamu. And I said, no, you are, it happened in your class. You go to the father and tell the father what happened in your class. You know what you taught him. You taught him about Jesus. And he said, yes, he liked Jesus. He wants Jesus to be his friend. He wants Jesus to be his savior. He's saved now. So he went there. He talked to the father. He said, this is what happened in my class. Your son came to my class. I presented the message of Christ, and your son loved Jesus Christ. He asked Jesus to come into his heart. He's a new person. If he were telling you, he's telling you the truth. He's not telling you a lie. Something that happened in my class. Now, what are you going to do to him? The man looked at Charles and said, what? I've been passing by the school all 5 days. And I do not know what you are teaching the children there, but whatever you are teaching the children is good, because I did not see the children running around or making any noise, but each time I was passing by, all of them were quiet and calm and listening to their teacher. So whatever you are sharing with the children is good. So if my son comes home and tells me that now you have shared Jesus with him, it's good. It's a good thing. That was what he was saying. It's a good thing. Good thing you are teaching my children. So I'm happy. Today we have a church plant, and now Adams, we will call Adamu, is a member of that church. And we are praying that the whole family one day will see the light and come and worship Jesus. So when you pray, you remember Adamu also in your prayers. We do have the chaplain training going on, where we invite the school teachers who are Christians and want the program in their schools to come. And then we have a training, and then we divide ourselves and talk about the lesson, how we are going to present it in our schools and with the children. And if there are some challenges, we all discuss about it, how we'll handle it together. And then we all have a prayer time. And then we divide ourselves and go. We have 187 help volunteers like this helping us. Some of them are even school principals. They come. Yeah, they say, we want to be the one leading it and distributing and in teaching the lesson, the Bible courses in the school. So every week they have a time, either Wednesday or Friday, come in the morning time, they will teach the lesson to the children. And it's been wonderful. We have more leaders. And then this is leaders training. In the Bible school, Maranatha Bible Institute, where I teach, I always maintain that the children must be the focal point. So children ministry is a major subject that you have to go through. And I teach that. And if you don't do well in the children ministry, you don't graduate. We have a lot of children in Ghana, and it's a wide open mission field, and you can go out and reach out to them. So you have to include them. We don't just change them from their main focus of pastoral theology and other things, but we also want to include them. Because when I went to Bible school, I was not taught the children ministry, but that was my passion. So I struggled with it, going from place to place. And then I thank God that at the end, he brought me back to where he had called me to serve in the children ministry. So all these that graduated this May, they all went through the children ministry course. And they are happy. They are happy that today you can get to the homes through the children. You give the gospel track or the Bible course to the child sends it straight to the house. And then you follow the child to the house. You can now talk to the mommy and the daddy and all the siblings there. And you can all invite, you can invite all of them to the church. So we have to look at the approach and the dynamics and then see how we can all involve all the family in our evangelism approach, that we can approach all of them. And we thank God. We are touching lives and we are changing hearts in Ghana with the word of God. And they are always happy when they receive their Bible and when they receive their certificate. And here Mavis is showing proudly, this is her first Bible and her first certificate. What a joy. And more. We are helping children to smile. And you can help us to make more children smile. We are reaching out to young people in Ghana with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are training others also to do the same. Herald of Hope have been of great help to us. They have been the one helping us and leading us in this wonderful evangelism approach to children. Before I go, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul was writing to Timothy and telling Timothy that this know also that in the last days, difficult times are going to come, shall come, perilous times. And then he went on and mentioned of some things that will come. He took time to mention several of them. But when he got to verse 14, he even said, men are going to be lovers of this world more than this scripture. Those who also hold the scripture are going to turn it. They won't teach the truth. He went on and on and on. But verse 14, he says, but continue you, thou, in the things which thou have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, you continue. He was telling Timothy, do not move away from the word of God. Continue. He wants us to continue teaching young people. He wants us to leave a legacy in their hands. He wants us the same trust that we have for God. We should raise young people who have the same respect and trust for God. Even when we are gone, there will be a generation here still worshiping the Lord. I don't want a situation that happened after Moses had died. Joshua has died. Then came the judges. And then after the last judge, then came a time that everybody does what is right in their own sight. And then a generation of people came that did not know the Lord. That did not know that it is the Lord who have brought their forefathers and grandparents from Egypt to the promised land. And I don't want us to leave this earth and not raising a generation to come after us who worship the Lord. Scripture is full that we who are alive and know the Lord today, we are responsible for raising the next generation. We are responsible. That's what Moses tells us. And we have to do that. God bless you.
Any questions for Pastor O'Haney from anyone? That was the first question that was asked at the Oak Hill program Thursday night, too.
What?
How many chairs broke?
Oh, how many chairs broke? That was a question to you all. So take a guess. Who would take a guess?
Nine?
None. Oh, no, nine. There was a broken chair. At the end. Yeah, with children, there must be a broken chair. There have to be a broken chair. So there was a broken chair at the end. But how many? You take a guess. If here, and you have plastic chairs, children running around, sitting on it, studying, how many will get broken at the end of 5 days?
Because they had to take them down and set them up every day?
Yes, set it in the room.
Chairs.
Then we will lock it
people?
And bring it out, and then at the end of the day, we bring it back into the rooms.
But 10 was a good guess. That was too many.
Yeah, too many. Or
5. That's pretty close. Go ahead.
Yeah, one more. 1. Oh, no, more than 1. With children, I have worked with them for over 20 years. I know. We have to break more than 1 chair. 4.
4 chairs.
Did you say 4? Yeah. Come give me a 5.
Yeah, I work with children. We do that all the time.
Any other questions?
All right, thank you.
I asked Pastor O'Haney the other day, so how many Bibles do you need this next year? He said, well, their semester ends every September and every March, and he needs 5,000 Bibles each semester to meet the Bible needs. So that's 10,000 copies of God's Word he needs every year. $5 a Bible, what does that come out to? Which one of you children know what the cost would be at 10,000 Bibles at 5,000 a Bible? Raise your hand. Come on, we have some mathematicians here, don't we? 5 times 10,000 is what? You're going to get 50,000, yes. That's a lot of Bibles. How many do you have at home that you're not using? Maybe God would lay it upon someone's heart to help us provide Bibles for Ghana. Anyone that wants to help in Dr. O'Haney's ministry there in Ghana to the youth that you heard about this morning, you can send any donations to Heralds of Hope designated for Ghana ministry, and we will pass them on to him to purchase Bibles and lessons. You know, when you talk about 48,000 students in these 220 public schools studied Bible lessons this last year, it costs a few dollars and cents to print 48,000 copies of these lesson booklets, as well as providing the Bibles. So pray with us for God's provision and for God's continued blessing on the ministry there. Now, just a few comments on the table in the back. My wife's 6 books are back there. You can help yourself, as well as a message series from J. Mark and Dr. Yoder. If you're spend a lot of time on the road and have a CD player, why, there's a good CD series of teaching back there that you can help yourself with. There is an envelope in your testimony booklet that you can send any suggested donations for the literature or whatever you pick up off the table. There's also story CDs there that Dr. Yoder read on Children's Hour. If your children enjoy listening to CD stories, help yourself to those. And also the newsletter. If you're currently not receiving our newsletter and prayer bulletin, there is a card in the envelope. We need the prayers of God's people for the ministry, so we would encourage you to help yourself to a copy of the last newsletter and prayer bulletin on the table, as well as to fill out that card and leave it at the table there in the donation box, or send it in the mail in the envelope. Thank you for this time and opportunity to share what God is doing. Jesus is coming soon. Let's be faithful and true in building his kingdom on the only foundation, that is Jesus Christ. Turn the time back over to you, Brother Randy, or whatever the next step is.